Hey, what's up, guys? Episode 20 of the Black and Jew podcast.
Yeah, episode 20.
Episode 20. Sweet. Now we're in a solid number. We're not teenagers anymore.
Yeah, we're not teenagers. No. We're almost able to drink.
Yeah.
We're binge drinking. Yeah. Next year is when we start tapering it off, ironically.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we just get, for the 21 episode, let's just get really drunk.
just disgustingly drunk.
Yeah, let's make, and we forgot to have a guest on the podcast this time.
Yeah, we did, but I mean, it's kind of rushed. You were away in LA.
Yes, I was in LA. It was a great trip.
Really? I want to hear all about your LA trip.
It was really pretty productive. But it did not feel. It was not a vacation. Did not feel like a vacation.
Okay.
But LA is a fucking cool place, man. I really like it. I'm really excited to move there, because there's a lot of opportunity, and I think that all the bad things people say about LA are because they're not from Miami going to LA. Like, they're going there from like fucking, like, people talk about like, oh, everyone's so superficial there and fake and plastic. And yeah, if you come from like Missouri or South Carolina,
people are very
fake and plastic and all that stuff. But you come from Miami, I'm like, everyone here is really down to earth. I met so many down to earth people here.
Really?
It's amazing. I'm like, everyone here is dressed so casually. Everyone's always dressed down, you know, it's like kind of like a more dressed down sort of style over there. Not as many high heels. In LA, even in the nice parts, you know, even the parts where the girls are quote unquote dressed up for LA, you know, that you could tell that they're not just out in their sweatpants or whatever. It's a lot more dressed down than Miami and
so
a lot less high heelsy.
Miami's more LA than LA than.
Yes, exactly.
There you go, guys. You heard it first. And that's a very good point. Because LA, you know, you got the image of like there's a vegan restaurant everywhere. Everyone has a poodle.
Not true.
Purse.
I ate lots of meats and I gained, for the first time in my life, I'm over 200 pounds.
Really?
Like 200.3 or something like that.
Wow. Yeah. No wonder Christine's still over there.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, maybe he'll fucking lose all that water weight by the time I get back.
Damn, sweet. Did you do any stand-up while you were there?
Yes.
I went up
three times on like last Tuesday, I think it was. That was the night that we had free.
And you wrecked it, right?
I would not say that. I'll tell you why. Because the open mics are a lot different in LA. There's so many of them, you know, and I didn't really find any. I just like looked at, there's this place called the Comedy Bureau, this website.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on that and I found some open mics. And the first one I went to, there was like six people there. In this hookah bar, right? And there's like, I notice at big cities, there's like this, and I talked to this other comic, like a better comic, like a more experienced comic, this guy named Fahim Anwar. You ever heard of him?
Fahim Anwar.
I think it's Fahim Anwar. He's a super fucking funny guy. Like, he's like, you know, Chris D'Elia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He said he's like open for him.
Wow.
He was actually on the show that I went to, but I Christine had to go to bed early, so we couldn't stay. But you know, I went to this place called The Parlor in Hollywood, and it was a great show, you know, a lot of like comics way leagues bigger than me, you know. And Fahim was on the show. He was fucking hilarious, like really, really, really good. And he kind of agreed with me when I was talking to him about how there's a little bit more of a chasm in bigger cities between the open micers and the actual experienced working comics, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I went and, like, there were a lot of, you know, on some of these open mics, there were a lot of people that were just insane people, you know? Just, like, not, like, totally out of their mind, like, just crazy. And you don't really get that much in Miami. Like, most of the comics are comics.
Yeah.
You know? And my theory is, which I'm sure I've said on the podcast before, is just that being forced, because in Miami, you're forced to be on shows with good working comics. So the bar is set way higher because if you have someone that's 100 times better than you following you, then you're going to not feel good about yourself. But if you're kind of miring around with like homeless people and insane people with drug problems and stuff, then you're probably like, if you have any sort of tightness to your set, you know, you're going to feel pretty good about yourself. But I went to this other one, this place that was like at a general store. That was pretty cool. Not that many people again. And then some guy I met at the first show, I told him that I was in town just for a little while, and he was nice enough to put me on a book show, this place called Universal Bar and Grill near Universal Studios. Sweet. And then on that show, there were some pretty fucking good comics, like guys that weren't like, they weren't like names or anything, but they were just,
they were like,
but they were, and they made me want to to step up my game a little bit
they
because
their dues, they were like really they were good shit and like
they were good. The crowd was like a lot of drunk people, a lot of people weren't paying attention, but it was cool. And the comics, I watched them and I'm like, I need to get more organized with my material and I need to go up more, et cetera, et cetera. Because you could tell that they just went up a lot. So it was cool though, you know, and you can catch like you go to these and I went to the Nerdist Theater two nights in a row.
Sweet.
Or not two nights in a row, but two different nights. The first night on a Saturday, they do it every month on a Saturday, and it's like they do this thing called Bad Movie Night. Mm-hmm. And they watch movies like Sharknado and shit, and like you just scream out your best one-liners, and whoever has the best one-liners wins prizes from the movie. It was so fucking fun, and like we watched Plane versus Volcano. It was just as bad as it sounds, but it was super fun watching it with a bunch of people. And they had the cast come out, and the directors and the writers.
What?
Yeah, and you think that it would be like the directors would be like, "Why are you making fun of the movie?" But they were like, yeah, like this movie is fucking ridiculous. We came up with a premise and we're like, what ridiculous things can we have these people do? And they're just like, and they said that the head of the company, and I forget the name of the company, but they make all these movies like Sharknado and shit. They keep saying, oh, it's not a comedy. Like, it's not a comedy. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's not a comedy. Of course it's a comedy. Like this one scene, there's a lava ball gets wedged in the engine. So they make this seatbelt rope and they hang this guy outside the fucking airplane with a hammer, and he takes the hammer and he whacks the volcano ball. Volcano ball explodes, breaks up, plane's okay. But spoiler alert, he eventually dies because another volcano ball hits him. And then they have a comic in the middle of it and at the end, and they were both really funny. And then on Wednesday, I went to the Meltdown Showcase, and that was badass.
That's cool. That's run by Kumail Nanjiani, right?
Yeah, and...
I forget the other guy.
I feel like an asshole for forgetting his name, but yeah, it was good though. It was a great show and it was super funny, you know.
Who was on that showcase?
I forget. I'd have to look.
Whatever, no problem. Yeah, that sounds so fucking sweet.
Yeah, man, it was
big,
cool.
Big like Comedy City. You saw like the big names. You saw the Nerdist Theater. You participated in that. Oh my gosh!
And I went to just go hang out. Like I hung out with Dave Williamson and Forrest.
Cool.
And like we went and you could just, it's like great to just, you can meet so many good comics just hanging out at like the Hollywood Improv late at night, or going to like, we went to like Barney's Beanery and we saw some, yeah, it was cool, man. It was really cool. Like you run into like, it's like a good, as you can say, it's like a good networking opportunity because you hang around and you're meeting like these really big comics that are 100 times better than you'll ever be.
Damn, that sounds so sweet.
And the food, Jesus Christ, the food.
The food?
Oh my God.
Tell me about the food.
I gained weight. I think I gained like, I don't know if it's 10 pounds like San Francisco, but I had this maple glazed bacon brioche donut.
Wait.
Yeah.
Maple glazed bacon brioche donut.
Yes. It was, they take brioche dough.
Yeah.
They fry it. And then they put a maple glaze over it, and then they roll it in real shredded bacon.
Oh my gosh.
It is as good as it sounds, and it's not like overwhelming. Like I could eat one a month maybe, but like it was just spectacular.
Oh my gosh.
It was delicious. And I had like this homemade pastrami sandwich and this place called the Oinkster. Ugh.
The Oinkster?
It was so good.
Oh my gosh, I need to go to LA just for those two things. I mean, comedy too, but like, but like
the obesity.
Yeah, the inevitable obesity that
come from
follow.
The comedy, stay for the obesity.
Damn, so happy. While you were away, you got best Twitter feed by the Miami New Times.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you,
everybody. Your podcast, the Black and Jew podcast, has the best Twitter feed. As the co-host.
According to the New Times.
Yeah. So please tell us more about that.
Oh, well, see, the thing is, I started tweeting when I was a young boy. And
okay.
No.
Okay.
It was weird how I got that. That was so weird. Like, it was so out of left field. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing that existed. And my dad texted me, and he's like, oh, congrats on the Twitter article thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he sent me this article. I'm like, I'm the best Twitter? And according to the New Times, it's fucking crazy.
Wait, okay, so then, but you know there's a quote about you on the New Times, right?
What?
Did you speak to them beforehand, or did they pull
No. They just pulled stuff, I guess.
Oh, that's so weird. I thought they spoke to you.
They don't want it to be a surprise. They want it to be a surprise or something. What quote are you talking about?
I think it was like some, I don't know, you said something about your Twitter feed.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, they just pulled that from my bio.
Oh, that was from your, oh,
I said all
okay.
my tweets are all my stand-up bits were tweets that were too long.
Yeah.
Apparently that's humble bragging, according to them. I don't know. I feel bad. Maybe the person that did that listens to the Black and Jew podcast, so I apologize if you do. But yeah.
If you do, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
I feel like you're not supposed to know who does that.
True.
You know,
true.
So they don't, it's not, this isn't the World Cup, you know, you're not going to have corruption like that at the New Times.
Then again, they already made their list, you know, in July, I mean in June. Mm-hmm. So, they can come on.
And John Wynn won Best Comedian.
John Wynn won Best Comedian.
Well deserved. He's a great comedian. Definitely. He needs to be recognized more.
Hell yeah. John Wynn's fucking amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
I wonder what, like, I want to see John Wynn, like, you know, 5 years from now. I want to see, like...
That'd be interesting.
I need to see that 30-minute Comedy Central special.
Yeah.
That spot on Conan. I know John Wynn's going to get it.
His funny Asian half hour.
His funny Asian half... That's probably going to be the name of it.
Yeah, he's a great comic, you know?
Yeah. Damn, but, man.
Man, it was... It feels kind of good though to win that thing, to be honest. Like,
no, it is good. It
It feels good because like I don't have that many followers on Twitter, and I spend a lot of time on my Twitter.
Yeah.
And like to know that someone's actually reading it is cool.
Yeah.
And like that it's not just because sometimes you know you'll put things out there and you're like, am I just wasting my time?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And then you get recognized for it and you're like, oh, that's awesome that I. Because I probably keep it a secret, but why not? I schedule all my tweets right. Like I like to have like consistent content, so I'll sit down on a Sunday and I'll write like 21 tweets for the week and then have three come out every day.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And like, or like, you know, I'll have spontaneous thoughts throughout the week sometimes. And, you know, I'm not going to just like scheduling is good. Cause I'm not going to tweet everything back to back as I have the thoughts. Cause I might have like, I was on an airplane and I had like five tweets that I came up with about being on this airplane. And I'm not going to like put them all back to back. So I just kind of, you know, spread them out and schedule them.
Yeah, no, this was fantastic. When I read this, because Christine posted it up on her Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, this is amazing. Because you are by far the hardest working person, like, in South Florida.
No,
With Twitter.
Twitter? Oh, okay.
With Twitter.
I don't even know if that's true.
Because you're the most consistent.
You're the most consistent.
Your Facebook feed is chock full of your tweets. And, like, there's always a new Michael tweet. And I think you totally deserve it.
Thank you.
That's amazing. And this just goes to show you how great of a mechanism like Twitter is.
Yeah.
Because that's recognition. And like after you got that, I'm like, holy shit, they're going to look them up. They're going to find the podcast and we're going to get five new likes on Facebook.
I think that's really what the number's going to be. Because I got like, I think I got like 20 followers from that.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Christine was on like top 15 Hispanic people to follow, Hispanic journalists to follow on Twitter on like the Huffington Post. And she got like, I think like 40 followers. So you think it's like, oh, there's going to be a shitload of followers, but it's not as much, you know?
Well, people are reading.
Not that I'm ungrateful for the followers. I'm happy.
No.
Some of them are my parents' friends that didn't know I had a Twitter account. I was just eating dinner with my parents, and their friend Ron. Who's the guy who actually introduced me to podcasts? Like, I didn't really listen to podcasts. I knew they were a thing. He introduced me with What the Fuck with Mark Maron.
Mm.
And he's like very technology savvy. He's a living proof that people who say, oh, you're too old. Like, you know, I'm too old for technology. That's not true. Cause he's way better with computers than I am. And he's my same age. And we were talking about business stuff during the dinner. And my mom's like, don't talk about the business stuff with Ron. And here I am talking about it. You heard that here, listeners. Ron is doing business stuff. She's gonna be real mad. But yeah, he was the one who introduced me to podcasting, and so thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, he was stuck on a bus for 6 hours in Mexico because it like broke down or something. Because he lives in Mexico, and he caught up on Black and Jew.
Nice.
Stuck in the bus.
Sweet. What does he have to say?
He says that he likes the Jewish guy, not so much the black guy.
Fuck him. Ron, you made an enemy.
No, he likes it. He likes the podcast.
Okay, good.
This is cool.
That's awesome.
And he's a big podcast listener, so he has okay. standards.
That's good.
Unlike the rest of our listeners.
Ugh, disgusting.
Like my aunt and my mom.
And my girlfriend.
And your girlfriend. And my girlfriend. You guys have no standards.
And Nell.
And Nell.
I'm so glad we can name all our podcast listeners.
Yeah. I wonder so if awesome. Like, I haven't checked the statistics in a while for the podcast. I wonder what it's going to be.
I wonder that also.
If I check it again.
We'll check it afterwards.
But I mean like, yeah, I didn't, I'm cheap and I didn't sign up for the premium account.
Oh.
So I can't get the statistics. So
don't sign up for that. Just let it go
and then be like pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Like anytime we'd get a download or a listen, like we'd get one listen. I'm like, yes, one listen. Awesome.
So maybe it's more, you know. Listen too. Like I just enjoy putting this out.
Yeah, me too.
And then if someone's actually listening to it, just like you said with your tweets, that it's all the more amazing.
Makes me happy. Like when one person that's not in my family is listening to it.
Yeah,
it makes
exactly.
me, even people in my family. You make me happy, Mom and Steli. You know, but people outside of my family.
And it's all about producing very good content, which I do feel like we're doing.
Yeah.
And like when we do this and people listen to it, there's like a group of people that agree with our ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person will like, you know, because we're with people like in long car rides on a plane or like you said, on a bus for 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's when people are mostly listening to this. And, you know, our stupid voices.
Frustrating Josh Silverman with her lack of knowledge about sports.
I like to see him in his car just bang his steering wheel.
He's
damn
like, that's
it.
Not what a field goal means in basketball. God damn it.
What does a field goal mean? I don't even know.
I think in basketball, it's just when you make a shot.
That's
that isn't,
stupid.
That isn't
they
like
just
a,
call it a
that
shot.
Isn't a layup or a, I think a layup and a dunk are not field goals.
Ugh.
Josh,
just call
tweet,
it a
us,
shot.
Tweet us and let us know if that was right.
You just look, field goal, shot. Just call it a shot. He made. Stupid basketball.
Well, you got to differentiate, you know?
Dunk, layup, there, done. Come on, I'll solve all your sports problems right now.
You should start a sports consulting firm.
I think you should change field goal to shot.
You're like, thank you,
$1 billion.
Person who watches no sports.
That's the person you need behind that.
Speaking of sports, the Heat lost.
Yes, the Heat lost.
On Father's Day.
Yeah, on Father's Day.
Was it Father's Day? And
yeah,
then
it was
Game of Thrones was that day too.
Yeah.
And there was the finale. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I didn't. I've not seen anything of this new season.
So good, the ending. Some people were upset about something they left out from the books, but I say fuck it. They're probably saving it for the beginning of next season.
Yeah.
It was awesome, man. But yeah, it sucked, but I don't know. I mean, we lost two games by like 20 points, so feel like there was really no pulling out of it.
Yeah, there was... Yeah. I was talking to John Gregory about this, and he's a huge Heat fan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're talking, and I'm like, oh, so the Heat lost. And I'm like, and he tells me, like, yep, yeah, I knew it. Like,
yeah.
There's a part in your, like, I love the Heat, but there's the part in the back of my mind where it's like, they're better than us.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to admit it, but, like, the Heat lost.
It's like your chubby cousin deficit. Going to a track meet. You're like, you're not going to win the 100-meter sprint, Billy.
Stop. Dexter from Jamaica is going to whoop your ass. He's going to lap you right now.
Dexter from Jamaica.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I hate Dexter too, I know. So arrogant.
So, yeah. So, sorry, Heat, you lost. Come on the podcast, LeBron. Let's talk about this.
Well, now that they lost, they're small enough to come on the podcast. They're old news now.
They're old news now? I wish we could get LeBron on the podcast. That'd be an amazing podcast.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
I wonder
any Heat player, except...
Yeah, I would say any professional basketball, any professional sports player, any person who does something professionally, I think, regardless of what it is.
I would love to have an off-Broadway playwright come on the podcast.
Off-Broadway playwright?
That's the lowest...
It's professional.
You know, yeah. That's the lowest echelon of like professional we can get on the podcast. Any lower than that, just,
off-Broadway playwright. It's like, yeah, he might win a Tony, but probably not one day.
He was featured on New York Magazine's top 12 playwrights to kind of pay attention to if you want to.
It's a great list. Yeah, I mean, it was sad, but it wasn't like devastating because it wasn't like skin of our teeth. It's just like, this is, someone on Reddit posted the funniest comments about it. They said, because, you know, also LeBron's a free agent now, right?
Yeah.
And someone says, now Miami Heat fans are all free agents.
That's the best thing to say about that.
That's pretty funny.
I'm kind of bummed for their loss because if you work at the heat store, that means you don't get any more hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, only like supervisors and people they like get hours at the store over the summer. So that's it.
So there's no, they keep the heat store open when there's no games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
Does it get any traffic?
Yeah, it does get traffic.
No shit.
Tourists, people that don't know that the heat lost, you know, like that. There's a bus.
I think everyone knows the heat lost. Some people in Miami might not.
Yeah.
People fucking hate the heat outside of Miami. It's crazy. Yeah.
When we were against OKC like 2 years ago,
yeah,
2 years ago, ESPN did a poll of the whole United States. Everyone was against us except Seattle, but only because Seattle used to have OKC under the name Seattle Sonics.
Yeah,
and so the whole U.S. hated us except Seattle.
Now it's the whole U.S. Everyone was rooting. I saw the map. They're rooting for the Spurs except for Florida. They fucking hate the Heat, man. You know, it's
they want to take that way too seriously.
Yeah, I don't think they take it seriously enough. Yeah, I mean, people do take it. I kind of get why they hate them. Like, it makes sense, sort of, if you're like are into that sort of thing. Like, I mean, it makes sense, but in a shitty way. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I just contradicted myself, but. Like, I kind of get where the animosity comes from. It's like, first off, LeBron, they don't like the decision or whatever. But LeBron, I feel like when you're that talented and young, people want to find a reason to hate you, you know? And the decision was really kind of cocky on his part. But they just hold it against him because they want a reason to hate him. They don't like the Heat, I think, because it represents Miami and it's, like, flashy. They get paid a lot of money, you know? Like, it's not, you know, homegrown like the Spurs are. I heard someone refer to the Spurs as a blue collar basketball team. Like, really? Is a blue collar? Is there blue there's collar? Such a thing? It's like, they only make a few million a year and then an extra like 10 million in endorsements. They're blue collar.
Yep. And they're all, you know, they're all foreign. They're all from like different places, man. Yep.
Blue collar.
A patchwork, like a homie quilt.
Yeah. It's it's like they work in a cannery after every game, you know?
After every game, they put on their hard hats.
Yeah, go down to the coal mines.
All right, we're done playing.
We don't make enough playing professional basketball. We got to go down to the coal mines. Then we got a double shift at the old auto factory.
And then they
got to solder together wires on these on these Ford Focuses.
And then they jump in their Chevy and like the country music plays.
It's like it's like an old Chevy truck from like 1985. So all we can afford is this blue collar basketball
team.
Blue
collar basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what people say about there's all a lot of bandwagon fans, but I think the whole thing with bandwagon fans is so stupid because it's like. What makes, I don't know. It's like, sports are the most, it's the most mainstream thing in the world. It's not like an indie band where it's like, I liked them before they were popular when they were just playing like, you know, small shows. It's like it's always a nationally televised mainstream thing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Who cares if you were there from the beginning? Yeah. And they don't care. They do not care if you were there from the beginning.
No.
Like, they do not give a shit. Could give less of a shit.
They don't. I've sold stuff for them. I know how much they don't give a shit.
Yeah. If
you could, like, I've seen people there that can't name any of the players.
Yeah.
And they eat all their jerseys up. They eat all. People have asked me, which one's LeBron James? And they're right in front of a LeBron James jersey. Like,
wow. From Miami people or tourists?
Both.
Oh, my God.
Both.
This is why people hate the Miami Heat fans.
Because they're idiots.
Because there's a lot of bandwagoning in Miami. But, I mean, people want to focus on that because we do have the hardcore fans. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's
John
a lot
Gregory,
of them.
For example.
Yeah, exactly.
Hardcore fan.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I feel...
He has posters in his room, according to his bit, which is kind of weird. We should have him on the podcast.
He jerks
talk
off
about
to
that.
The posters. He's like, oh, you're so sweaty, Carmelo Anthony.
It's...
but, yeah, like, I don't know, man. But I'm kind of a bandwagon fan, but I don't give a shit about sports. So that's the only reason. Like, I watch basketball sparingly. Like, I only watch the postseason. Like, I don't watch. Yeah. I don't really like watching regular season basketball that much. I like football better too. You know, that's more my thing. And like, I watch the Dolphins. Go to as many games as I can. Can't accuse me of being a bandwagon fan for that, because they're fucking.
You pay money to go to that
fucking,
place.
No, my dad has season tickets since like 1984.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So I try to go to every game if I can, but you know, a lot of times I can't, and it's hard, dude. It's hot as fuck out there. It's like,
yeah, it's far away. Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that.
Oh my gosh.
True bandwagoner.
Oh, and like,
I don't think there's going to be an opportunity to be a bandwagon Dolphins fan anytime soon.
Or a bandwagon Marlins fan.
But it's like, if I like the I like the Dolphins, but if I saw a bunch of people that were like, if they were, you know, in the playoffs or something, and then suddenly all these fans started liking the Dolphins, I wouldn't be like,
yeah,
what the f- I was there, I was sweating it out from the beginning. It's
yeah,
like,
that's, yeah,
I
that's
was sweating
the other
it out for these multimillionaires that play a nationally televised sport. You know, like,
yeah,
really?
That's the other thing. Don't you want your sports team to be popular? Because if it is,
yeah,
it makes the game more fun. Like, the only time I really enjoy basketball, yeah, is when everyone is like enjoying basketball around me. Like, I like these last couple of games, I went to like a sports bar,
yeah,
and I got to enjoy like the game with everybody else, and like, you know, I got caught up in,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
energy, and that's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think like Miami, the way it is, people really like being in the know of something,
yeah,
even though it's not like it's not their thing.
Oh, and Josh Silverman, I want your opinion on all of this. I'm really interested to hear about what you think about our opinion on bandwagoning. Because
so
I know you're a hardcore sportsman.
I think, like, one, if a lot of people like your team, that's,
yeah,
a lot of people to share that with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, and this goes, like, I experience this a lot in, like, oh, this is such a stupid phrase, like, the anime community.
Yeah.
Where, like, people will, like, chastise you for name-dropping something, and they'll, like, oh yeah, well, what happened episode da 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 da, who's
God,
the author of this, you
Jesus
know, you want to test them,
yeah,
let them enjoy the thing you enjoy, and that'll make the thing you enjoy all the more better.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah.
I don't understand it,
but
like, that would be like criticizing someone like for liking a comic, and they started,
yeah,
off as like with like an hour, like their first set was like an hour special on Comedy Central. It's like, I knew them when they were underground. It's like, they were never underground. They were always pretty popular. So,
do you seriously want to be the only? Okay, you know how the Marlins suck.
Yeah,
and you know how, like,
I hate baseball.
Yeah, baseball sucks.
It's the
baseball
worst.
Blows. I can't wait till we make it like Futurama.
Yeah,
baseball,
Slurmball.
I think it was called.
Yeah,
but the real hardcore fans are the ones there. And if you've,
yeah,
ever seen footage of their stadium,
yeah,
that's all hardcore fans.
Yeah, definitely.
Go to footage of the Heat arena. This is all bandwagon. Look how everybody's having,
yeah,
so,
yeah,
much fun. Everybody's wearing,
oh, look,
white,
at all these people leaving because they're up by too much. The Heat are down by too much at this part of the quarter.
Miami traffic crazy.
What?
Miami traffic is crazy.
I mean, dude, during the finals, though, you don't leave.
Oh, yeah, that's
like, that's
okay,
like ridiculous.
I'll give people who criticize
that. And if you see
that
somewhere else, like, I heard another analysis, I forget where I saw it, but someone was saying, like, in Miami, like, the watching a Heat game is just another thing to do. It's just another thing. It's like, we got South Beach, we got clubs, we got this, we got that. This is just another activity. It's not, like, a central part of Miami's identity, or which it is, but for some people,
yeah,
it's not. It's just another thing to do. It's like, oh, what are you doing tonight? Tonight, I'm doing this. I'm going to a Heat game. Then I'm going to do that. You know? It's
okay,
like, I'm going,
yeah,
to dinner,
true,
at Meat Market on
that.
South Beach. I'm going to the Heat game. And then I'm going out to live afterwards. You know?
Yeah. No, that makes total sense.
Because I think that Miami has that a really bad mixture, or you could say the perfect mixture for bandwagon fans. Because, all right, first off, we have better things to do than watch sports. Right? And hold on, New York fans that are like, oh, the New York, there's tons of stuff, and in Boston there's tons of stuff, but the Celtics and the Knicks. Well, I think that we have a lot of stuff to do, but our franchise is so young that there hasn't been those,
yeah,
generations of season,
oh,
ticket,
yeah,
holders.
No,
you know, it's like the New York Knicks are named,
man,
their full name is the New York Knickerbockers. They're named after an item of clothing that no longer exists, that hasn't existed for like 50 years. And like, so that's a lot of time to build up a loyal fan base. But
it has
Miami,
pedigree,
it's been around,
yeah,
since 1988,
mm-hmm,
you know, like
it came
into existence not too long after the Iron Curtain fell, you know,
yeah,
it's like 4 years before Kurt Cobain died. That's not that old of a team, you know? So I don't know. I don't really. It'd be better if we had hardcore fans, but at the same time, I don't really give a fuck what anyone else in the country thinks.
Yeah,
you know,
that too. There's
and
also that.
Like, what the fuck is there to do in San Antonio?
That's it.
Watch the like watch a game. Like watch. That's what they do in like small towns and shit. It's like the football game, like a high school football game.
Oh yeah.
It's just like the event for like the month. Like that's the shit. Like that week, like it's like you go to the game, that's the only fucking thing going on. Miami high school football games, you go out, you get drunk. It's just another it's another component of your evening. It's yeah. not like cuz we can go to the beach or do something better than a fucking high school football game.
There you go. Bam. Yeah. Bandwagoning. Attacked bandwagoning. By the Black and Jew podcast.
Black and Jew podcast. Don't know anything about sports. Know a little bit about bandwagoning. What's going on with you?
What's going on with me? Yeah. A ton of video games.
How's the job hunt going?
Oh, job hunt is done. Job hunt is done. I work for the Coral Gables Art Cinema.
For a second, I thought they're going to be like, job hunt's done. I'm just not going to have a job.
Just no. I
thought, oh, yeah. You told me that you work for Coral Gables Art Cinema.
That's cool. But they don't know that. I have a job now, guys. I have a job now. I work for the Coral Gables Art Cinema, which is the most amazing job ever.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's cool, man. You get to see those movies for free?
I get to see all those movies for free. Yeah. By the way, if you get a chance, watch Witching and Bitching.
Witching and Bitching. Never heard of it.
That movie's amazing.
Cool.
That movie's really cool. It's a lot of fun. It's hilarious. Check it out. And actually, real interesting, I am going to drive around a director and an actor from a Spanish film.
Oh, awesome. What film?
Living is Easy with Your Eyes Closed.
Who was the director?
Javier Cámara.
Don't know.
Yeah, nobody.
Maybe does. Christine does, or yeah, my mom. Maybe. My mom's really into foreign cinema.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm going to be driving them around. They're having the Coral Gables Art Cinema is having a party
cool.
at the end of this week, and they're premiering the film, and they're talking to the directors and the actors.
Yeah.
And it's such a chill job because I get a couple old ladies for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Then they, you know, you listen to them complain or you like whatever. Then they go sit down on the bench. Then they go inside the theater and they're gone for 2 hours. And I do nothing for 2 hours except like either write jokes or be on my Game Boy. And it's so good. Oh my gosh. And like it's cozy. I get a chair. There's like, you know, there's
what more could you ask for?
What more can I ask for? And it's like a very it's a nice consistent job. And yeah. I usually don't work between Monday and Thursday. And if I do, it's like for like 5 or 4 hours or six.
Nice.
And that leaves all my time to like go out and do stand up.
Cool, man.
So like, I'm so lucky I got this job. And I worked at a restaurant for one day. And that day I said, fuck it. I'm never really? Working at a restaurant.
That's
I
how
respect
long it took you.
Anybody who does food service.
Yeah.
I like...
What restaurant?
Pincho Factory.
Oh, I know that place.
Yeah, that place is great. I like it a lot. Yeah, I was washing dishes and, you know, bussing, basically. I was bussing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I used to bus tables.
No, thank you. I don't give a shit. Call me a pussy. I don't care. I'm never, ever washing dishes ever again.
My dad made me get a job in food service when I was younger.
Oh, I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson in one day. I'm like,
he's like, he made me get a job over the summer one year when I was like 19. He's like, you have to get a shitty job. Like, you have to get a shitty fucking job so you can appreciate what it's like.
Yeah.
And that fit the bill pretty well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I did my job very well, by the way. Mm-hmm. I didn't like punk
out.
The
one day you were there.
The one day I was there, I was banging. Yeah. All right. I was doing my job very well.
Mm-hmm.
People had enough. I, you know, like asked questions.
Dishes were clean.
Dishes were cleaned. I, you know, cleaned tables. I attended the customers. I did everything. Mm-hmm. They paid me with cash under the table that night. So I was
That's good to know for the Pincho Factory. Let's get them in some trouble.
Ooh, shit. Ooh, shit. Someone from Ecolab or something will listen to the podcast. Well, huh.
Let's hope no accountants are listening to this.
So anyway, look, I did that work and no, thank you. I'm never going to wash dishes again.
I feel like that's how everyone feels about restaurant jobs. God. So was that before the Coral Gables thing?
That was actually during Coral Gables. I was like,
for like your nights that you're not working at the cinema?
Yeah, but nope, I'm good.
What do they say when you're like, I'm good for a day?
They're like, okay. I told at the end of the day, I speak to the guy that like, you know, told me to come in and I'm like, I lied to him. I told him, I'm sorry, you didn't tell me how much I was getting paid, and I had a better offer that's in my major.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to, I thought I'd give it a shot, but I'm sorry, I can't. And he's like, all right, cool, no worries. And I'm like, sweet, all right, I'll see you then. And then that was it.
That's cool.
That was it. I haven't set foot in that restaurant since.
Yeah.
But for that's shame. It. Yeah, for shame. I'll just go to the Bird Road location.
The Bird Road. Drive all the way across the city.
Just to avoid. I will do that. I will do that.
Oh, man, that's funny. Pizza Factory is good. You know, Christine was actually like playing around with the idea of getting a job in like food, you know, like as a line cook or something like that, like work her way up. But part of it is just like, fuck, dude.
Mm-mm.
It's just so hard.
Her hands are way too pretty to do that. No, it's just stop.
Like, it's very sexist, Reggie.
No, my hands are way too pretty to do
mine
that.
Mine are too.
Like, After my shift at Pincho Factory, I went home and just lotioned for 1 hour.
All that grime, dude. There's nothing rewarding about manual labor, though.
So yeah, I'm very happy. I have my restaurant job. I mean, my.
So you get to sit.
Cinema.
There's just something to be said about not dealing with dirty shit.
Yeah.
In your job.
Hell yeah.
And not being on your feet all the time. And not using your hands.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about not doing manual labor like a rich white person. I wonder why everyone doesn't do this.
So, yeah. And, like, the biggest problem at the art cinema is just dealing with people. People that are, like, you know, in a higher tax bracket than me, old, and pretty entitled.
Oh, you mean the problem with working any job is dealing with people?
Yeah. So, yeah. So, that's my main deal. Like, I had this one lady who was fighting with me because she couldn't pay her parking. Like, she was like, okay, so I went to the machine, and it's telling me to pay full price. And she's holding the validation ticket.
Yeah.
And then I ask her, where is your pink ticket?
Mm-hmm.
What pink ticket? I came in to the garage, and I got nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, ma'am, that doesn't happen. that legitimately does not happen. Like, I gave...
She's just bullshitting you?
Yeah, she's just bullshitting me. And then she's like, what? Look at my wallet. Where is it? And I'm like, it's that one. The pink one right there, right next to your credit card. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I must have forgotten.
I love how she was like furious with you a second ago.
Yeah, she was. And then after that, she leaves and she says, thank you very much. I'm sorry. Bye. She leaves. Then she comes back.
Oh, shit.
And then she's like, okay, see, let me tell you something. What are you going to tell me? And then she's like, I bought a ticket, right? Uh-huh. And I bought one for my friend. But she couldn't sit in a seat. She had to sit in a folding chair. Now, this guarantees me a seat. What went wrong? And then, true, I'm going to give her that one. That's true. What happened was the system didn't sync up right, and we oversold the show.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, all right, I understand. I apologize, but the system wasn't syncing properly. Did you enjoy the movie? Thank you. Know, just I used tact, and then she left.
Uh-huh.
Like, it wasn't enough for her to... not have complained fully that first time. She had left, probably was in her car, and then she's like, no, that was too easy. No, I'm coming back down.
She has to be right about something.
Yeah, she has to be right about something.
She can't be like, make a mistake. She's like, there's got to be a reason to complain.
So yeah, you get a lot of that. But other than that, awesome job.
All those Alta Hakens hanging out the Coral Gables Art Cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Do you know what I did when I was in LA that was really cool?
What?
Christine's brother does these cemetery screenings at the Forever Hollywood Cemetery. These big things. They did the finale of Breaking Bad there. They did the screening for it, actually.
Hmm.
And it was so cool, dude. It was like 4,000 people. I watched Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. And it was super fun, man. It was like...
So wait, people are in a graveyard?
Yeah.
And they watch a movie?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
You're on picnic blankets and shit and like...
Why a graveyard?
I don't know. It's because it's just a fucking cool place. I don't know.
There aren't going to be dumb dogs at a graveyard.
Dumb dogs?
Oh, dogs. Whatever.
Wait, what do dogs have? I don't understand where dogs
You know, because if you go to a park, there's going to be dogs barking, playing catch.
Oh, okay.
If you go to a graveyard, there's no nothing dogs. But dead people. Dead people don't make noise.
Dead people do not make noise.
And whoever's there is not there to, like, you know, play catch or, like, have a game of b-ball.
No.
So.
People are very quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so weird, like,
that's perfect. That's better than a movie theater.
Huh?
That's better than a movie theater.
Yeah, it was cool. I had a lot of fun. We need cool shit like that in Miami, you know?
Yeah.
Or we probably do. I just don't seek it out because I don't live here. Because yeah. I live here, you know?
You but, already live in LA in your head.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I'm sure when I go to LA, I'll stop doing cool things like that, you know?
It's like, ugh, the graveyard movie again.
It's like, oh, it's all the way in Hollywood. I'm over here. But I think the transition from Miami to LA is going to be a lot easier than the transition from anywhere else to LA.
Yeah, and Christine's currently interviewing for a job there, right? Like it's her and another candidate.
Oh no, that fell through.
Oh,
yeah, it's sad. But I think he was like big on that beat. Like he was already on that beat. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you know, it's all right because we'll find something else.
Sweet.
But I don't know, man. Like LA's a cool city. The traffic too. People, the traffic is pretty bad. But coming from Miami, it's not as bad as coming from anywhere else. You know, I'm like, no, this traffic's like, we went certain places during rush hour and stuff and like, just wasn't, you know, Miami's really bad too. Like, it's like coming back from Doral, like Christine has a commute from Doral and you know, that the traffic is pretty bad that way too, you know? So it wasn't a huge comparison. And I got to say that the people weren't as sexy as Miami.
No, I'm convinced nowhere else in the U.S.
Because you know what it is? I think that L.A.'s so hot because you get the most fuckable people from towns around the world or around the country.
Because they don't want to live in L.A. Because
They're like, I'm sexy enough to be an actor or whatever.
Or I'm sexy enough not to be in Mississippi.
Yeah, exactly.
I should leave here.
I'm the only person here that weighs under 140 pounds.
Yeah, and not racist.
But in Miami, we don't import them. We breed them here. Like,
because all the hot people are already here and they're fucking other hot people.
Yeah,
and then
they just exist. And then you're just like this crazy mix of sexy races.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they're just like, hey, you're hot and from Venezuela. I'm hot and from, you know,
Nicaragua,
China, everything.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Exactly.
Let's make that National Geographic article here. Yeah. You know? Let's just do that here.
We don't need to import. We have a trade surplus, not a trade deficit.
Oh man, if we lived in like a dystopian, like, you know, future, we'd be the richest because we'd just import all our men and women.
If that was like a trade, there was like a sex
like
trade.
If, you know, like, let's be honest, like
people were currency.
People were currency.
What's the exchange rate on a Miami people to Wisconsinites? Like, pretty fucking good.
Oh my gosh, so good. Half of our Miami people are worth at least 10,000 of the Wisconsin people. Which half? If I'm going to give you 1,000 Wisconsinites, you better give me a good half.
They come with a block of cheddar. I don't think people in Wisconsin talk like that at all.
No, I don't think at all. Yeah, no, I don't think so.
That's the South. Maybe Kentuckians. So this one don't look too good. She just been eating bacon and Sonny's barbecue her whole life.
So I've also this week I've also been playing a lot of video games.
Yeah,
and
what
like
been
Steam
playing?
Sales on.
And oh, I haven't bought anything yet.
I've bought Hotline Miami with the soundtrack. Have you played that?
No.
Oh my gosh, you have to
what
play
is it?
It's okay. It's a ultra violent, like a retro styled game with an amazing soundtrack.
Okay.
And what happens is like it's supposed to be like it's a very good game, and it's supposed to be like a commentary on game violence.
Mm-hmm.
And you play the main character; he's like an assassin. He does jobs, and like it's a 2D plane overhead.
Okay,
and you just go into a level and kill everything, and then go to the objective. And
who are your enemies in it?
Oh, they're like gangsters and like mobsters there, and then you just like you get a weapon.
Oh, I think I've seen this.
Oh yeah,
I haven't played it, but.
It's a great game. I just got it too.
Hotline Miami. I'm gonna get it.
I wonder
if it's on sale today.
Oh yeah, it's $2.
I have so many games from the last Steam sale that I haven't played at all.
That's what happens a lot with the Steam sale. I try and be very selective about what I buy.
Yeah.
Because there's like been a bunch of like articles that nobody reads about this where like people are of the opinion that a Steam sale really devalues a game.
Hmm.
And that it inflates like sales numbers for a game
yeah.
because people will just buy to buy. Like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, Skyrim is only $5. Yeah. I better get it. I'll never be $5 ever again.
It's the cheapest entry price to be a Dovahkiin ever.
Exactly. So you get a lot of people that just like buy games for the sake of buying games. And like, that's good for Gabe Newell. He's fat with money, but you know.
He's fat with money. He's just force-fed money. That's how he gains his weight.
So, yeah.
Where is the Steam or a Valve based out of?
I don't know.
Are they like Seattle?
I'm not sure. I don't know. That's a good question.
Where's Gavin? I call him Gavin. I know it's Gaben, but...
Gavin.
God, dude. I can't wait for Half-Life 3, dude. Fuck. I hope I don't die before it comes out. Gabe is like George R. R. Martin for video games. He's fat. He takes forever to release things.
I also bought Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, shit. Did you buy it for PC or Mac?
PC.
I don't have a fucking PC, man. I got a Mac. It sucks.
I think it's probably available for that.
I don't think it is. I tried to download it. I think it was just Windows.
Oh, that sucks. Well, I also bought Shadow Warriors, which is a remake of a game called Shadow Warriors that stars a very racist and Asian stereotype called Lo Wang. And like the first game was really Doom 2D, you know, like a retro shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Lo Wang had horrible, very racist one-liners like, you mess with Lo, you get the Wang. or like one that was like, am I Chinese? Am I Japanese? No one knows.
What game is this?
Shadow Warriors.
Shadow. I'm going to Google this.
So yeah.
I love these. Is it like an indie game?
No. No, it isn't.
Oh, it's like a Doom first-person shooter kind of thing.
Yeah. Let's see. I also bought the new Strider game. And
I love this pic of this anime chick in a bathtub.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of that in that game, too.
It looks like Duke Nukem, but like Asian.
Yeah, there's basically.
This is like Duke Nukem. It looks exactly like Duke Nukem 3D. Oh, Reggie, you don't know what it was like when every game looked like this and it wasn't just a novelty.
I played Doom, the first Doom.
How old were you?
6? I don't know.
Wait, so that was like 98?
Was it 90? Okay. I don't know. I know I played it.
When were you born?
92.
I always ask you this, but I forget. So, but that was because it was like an option retro throwback. It wasn't like, Doom came out a year after you were born.
Oh, well then, the newest Doom didn't come out till like 2000. Till 2000.
2004, I think.
After the movie? After that shitty movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I played the first Doom.
But see, then for you, it was a novelty. It wasn't the only option at that point.
Oh, okay.
So like when games only looked like that, it was like, and they didn't have plots. Like first-person shooters used to not have plots. Like it was just like, get this key card, kill this. We just talked about this on the last podcast.
Yeah, we just did. Well, anyway, I have a bunch of games from Steam, and then I also have a bunch of games from Nintendo. Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Just been doing nothing.
You ever play Earthbound?
I have Earthbound.
It's the fucking greatest game.
That's the greatest game ever. It's amazing.
It's like I think my favorite RPG is Earthbound.
It's quickly become one of my favorites because it's
so good.
There's a, like in Earthbound, I talk to everyone because everyone says hilarious shit.
Oh, it's so good.
There's this one person who, like, when you talk to them, they're like, huh, you can't imagine the fall of capitalism? Ha, ha, ha.
Is it, like, one of the anarchist punk rocker guys or something?
No, it was, you go into this, like, this ritzy bar where, like,
yeah,
Ness basically eats a space brownie.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, that, like, Ness beatnik
gets a,
bar.
Yeah,
in
Ness
Foresight.
Gets a magical brownie.
Yeah.
That's a weed brownie.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets more powerful after eating it.
I'm going to download this game after this podcast is over. Getting so nostalgic.
Oh, my. It's so great.
Me and my friend used to play it all the time. We used to play that shit, like, my introduction, that was the first RPG I ever played.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love RPGs, especially JRPGs. Oh, my gosh.
So I never... I'm trying to think. The only JRPG I was into was Final
Earthbound
Fantasy.
Earthbound is a JRPG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's made by Ape, and that's a... And, like, you know, the director was Natashi Oikawa. I forget his name, but,
some Asian dude.
Yeah, some Asian
dude. Speaking of that shit, I had the best fucking sushi ever in L.A.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so good. It was like... The guy who gets... It's a place called Sugarfish.
Sugarfish.
The owner... I think they got three locations. The owner, they call him the sushi Nazi. He owns all the locations. And like, you ever seen Jiro Dreams of Sushi?
Yes, I have.
It's kind of one of those figures, you know, super anal retentive, not as big as that guy, really anal retentive. The fish that he gets, his vendor has been working with him for 30 years. He doesn't sell to anybody but him. Right. So he has his one fish vendor that gets the fish for him. He goes to the market every single morning to get the fish for the day. Right. And it is so fucking good, dude. Like, I had this albacore belly.
Albacore belly.
Yes. The belly of albacore tuna, like the fatty part of the tuna.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have this, you're like, the sushi here isn't sushi. It's like, this is fucking sushi.
I love sushi.
Dude, it was, and it was great deal too. Like $30 for like a 6-course sushi meal.
What?
Yeah, something like that.
What the hell?
Like, you start off with like, with edamame. It's just called the trust me. It's like, trust me, let me do it for you. I'm going to actually look up the course right now.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
And you just, they pick it for you, and then it's just the most amazing. And then they give you edamame, and they don't let it sit at the window. Like, it comes out when it comes out. So when you're eating with somebody, whoever comes out first, they get it.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
It's like, you've never fucking had sushi like this. It's amazing. Let me see. I'm trying to find the dinner menu.
Man. See, this is why I can't wait to go, like, to another city to do comedy. Just to have a whole brand new thing.
It's 8 courses.
8 courses?
8 courses for $30. And each, the first is organic edamame, right? Then it's this tuna sashimi plate that's, like, sliced up in this sauce that's fucking amazing. 2 pieces of albacore, 2 pieces of salmon, 2 pieces of yellowtail, 2 pieces of halibut, and then 2 hand rolls. One is toro and one is blue crab. For $30. And like, their a la carte shit is as much as going, it's the same price as like pretty much going to Sushi Maki. Yeah.
Which blows.
Oh, actually, no, this is even cheaper. It's like for salmon, $5.25 for 2 pieces. So that comes out to like $2.70 a piece for a piece of sushi. And it's like way better than anything you can get in Miami. Like, so fresh. So fresh. I'm like such a fat ass on this trip. Like, when I saw 200 on the scale, I'm like, oh shit, I'm getting up there.
What, at the Publix where you bought your Chips Ahoy too?
No, in the bathroom. It's funny because at the very end of the trip, I stepped on a scale and it just said error. And I'm like, you know what, scale? Yeah, thanks for doing that, because I really don't want to know. And fuck you, because I don't appreciate your lip.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. But why aren't I in LA right now?
Why aren't you, buddy? We should come out.
Come out.
So we don't have to do the Black and Jew podcast over Skype.
That would suck, right? Our quality would diminish a little.
Well, we're going to have to do it eventually.
Yeah.
I figure, I'm trying to, I'll weigh our options about what the best way to record it would be. I'm thinking over Skype and then, I don't know. The technical details isn't something to flesh out on the podcast. But there's a lot of really popular podcasts that do it over Skype, so. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Because we need to use up all those 3 digits that we have.
Yeah, we definitely need to use all those.
We need to have like 100. So I'm really interested. Like, if we make it to like 200, to see the notoriety of the guests increase. or just like have like, you know, like John Vargas, when he's John Vargas, the Miami comic, road comic, and then like John Vargas on his own TV show. Or whatever.
Vargas Tonight.
Just, yeah, Vargas Tonight.
Vargas, maybe tonight.
Vargas, whenever.
Damn. 200 episodes. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to use it up. We'll see how this plays out.
But we'll figure out when it gets to 999. We'll have to add a digit. Oh, man. So, is there anything new with you besides the job? Old ladies? Besides the old ladies at your job?
No, nothing new other than the job and my massive amount of video games I play now. It's all good.
Dude, I'm like, I have like an eating problem on vacation.
Isn't that when you're supposed to have your eating problem?
That's true. But like, now I'm trying to eat healthy again, like I ever did. Like, I'm trying to eat healthy, period. Cause like, man, when I was on treatment, it was so easy to keep the weight off. Chemotherapy just keeps that shit off, man. Like,
it just burns it away.
It burns it away, dude.
You go, girl.
You lose your appetite. Now I like got this appetite. I think I feel like maybe I have definitely not an eating disorder, but like, I think I might have like a mental problem because I've gotten so used to eating. Like when I was on treatment, like when I could eat, it was just like, eat as much as you possibly can, get as many calories into you as you can, because you're not going to be able to keep the weight on. So like whenever you have that appetite, just fucking eat. And like, it doesn't matter. But then like, I think that's kind of carried over a little bit. So I'm like, I have a hard time just being like, oh, I'm full, let me stop. I'm just like, I have to eat all of these calories because you don't know when the next meal you're going to be able to eat next. But that's not the case at all. Because then when I can eat next is like in 20 minutes or whatever. You know, my stomach's like expanded. I needed to shrink back down again.
I don't know why you'd want to stop.
Well, you know, Reggie, how much do you weigh?
Last time I checked, maybe 155.
What do you like, watch what you eat at all?
No.
See? You're lucky, man.
I just, what I do is I kind of have a system where it's like, I shouldn't eat that, should I? And then I don't. And then I make a mistake.
That's a great system that seems simple, but I don't have. I would have a hard time with that system.
I also have I don't really watch what I eat. I don't.
And my metabolism was better at 21 too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone tells me that, and I'm like, I know, but damn, it's just so can I just have like 3 bowls of cereal, then go to McDonald's, and then probably go to a nice restaurant, then have another 3 bowls of cereal?
Well, that's at your age. Yes, you can.
Oh my gosh.
You hit a brick wall, you know? It's like so many changes happened to me over the course of cancer treatment that like usually happens gradually to people. Like, first off, my hangover tolerance went way down. So like, I would like, drinking hit me fucking hard. Cause like the last time I was drinking, I was like 23, and then at 27, it's different, you know? So like, I can't drink like I used to, or I get a horrible hangover. My metabolism slowed down. So like, I can't eat like I used to and still maintain a normal weight. And what else? And that's about it. My expectations for my life. About like being independent and stuff. It's a lot of transitions happening to me now. You know, I'm like trying to moving out to LA. I finished treatment. Things are expected of me now. Trying to live on my own. You know,
it's gonna get hella real. I mean, it's not to say that it isn't, but like, you're as simple as that. You're gonna be leaving.
Yeah,
you're gonna be leaving. Like, this is, you know, this is like when Ness found the fly and it landed on him.
Yeah.
And he had to fight the Starman.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, Ness is like, shit, dude. The fly, an invasion, a fucking Starman.
Yeah.
Now I gotta
The call to adventure.
I gotta hit snakes with a baseball bat. Holy shit. Fine. And then you're in Foreside and, you know, Paula gets stolen by a green alien and you're like, shit.
Make sure she doesn't have all your items when that happens.
No, she doesn't.
You took them away. It's good. Smart.
No, she just doesn't have shit. No, I'm kidding. So yeah, like, you're going to be leaving, and then...
Joseph Campbell would call it the call to adventure, and if you want to talk about it archetypally.
Okay. So, yeah, the call... No, I'm aware. I have that book. So, yeah, you got the call to adventure, and now, since you're going to be in LA, it's going to be... Now you really have to do comedy.
Yeah.
Like, here... There's a ton of people that you could say are just like, I do comedy.
Yeah.
And then they invite their coworkers and then that's it.
Yeah.
But now you really have to do comedy. Not to say you weren't really doing it here, but now it's like for real over there.
No, I felt the pressure when I was there for sure.
Oh, hell yeah. You should.
You feel the competition.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going up against people that are, even like some of the shittier people are really just, you can be like, wow, this person's just so much more polished than me.
You live in the place where Kumail Nanjiani lives, so... I mean, that's already like, you know, there's people like that. Like, there's Dan St. Germain over there. I think Pete Holmes lives over there.
Bill Burr lives there.
Bill Burr lives there. Holy shit.
Not like I'm going to be doing any mics that he's on. But.
Not like he does any mic, does he?
Well, he does book shows.
Yeah, probably book shows.
He does like he was working out some material at Flappers when I was there. I didn't get to go see it, but.
Is Caroline's there?
No, that's in New York.
Oh, that's in New York. Well, yeah, so...
But that's where he works out material, at like a sold-out club. But it's because he's taping his hour, and he needed to work it out. So he just did like an hour at Flappers.
Oh my God.
To work out his hour.
You know, that's the part of stand-up that I don't get, like, that I don't like. Okay, I'm here right now.
Yeah.
Where I'm still trying to write 10, right? or like, well, I'm still trying to write fit 20.
Yeah.
And then if I keep this up, I need to be at the point where I have to write an hour.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Is it, do I just keep on doing it? And then like one day I wake up, it's like, oh, check that out. It's an hour. And then I have to maintain that. See, I don't think it's hard to get up top. It's hard to maintain being up top.
No, I think it's hard to get up top too.
No, man, that's not hard.
Yes, it is.
It's harder to maintain being on top.
Well, it's hard to get on top, and then it's harder to maintain being on top.
Okay. You want to be fair like that? I think, like, oh my gosh, it's crazy. Like,
but once you get to that point, that's going to be a while. Like, that's going to be, you're going to be doing it for a long time before you have to do an hour, you know? And that made me put pressure. I'm like, man, how much material do I really have? Like, how much tight, like, how many tight minutes do I have?
Right? You know? How many, like, I still don't think I have tight minutes, like, tight, like, young.
You got your tight jokes, though, right?
I got tight jokes.
You put them together, and that's how many tight minutes you have.
Set up. That's
this is true.
Okay, yeah, but, oh, my gosh. I don't know. Just stuff like that freaks me out. Like, thinking about, like, oh, my gosh, the future.
Dude, like, that's so far in the future, though, you know?
No, it's not. That's what I said about, like, being 21 when I was 13. I'm like, I'm not... that's so far in the future, and holy shit, look at him here.
Well, I'm just saying it's not like happening tomorrow.
It's not.
So it's just you got to focus on those little battles.
Yeah, but that's the
not thing. Worry about the war.
I like, it's not that I want it to happen tomorrow. I want to be that good tomorrow.
Everyone does, but it just takes time. It's flight hours, you know?
Ugh. I need to be the best already.
Yeah.
I already feel like
well, keep going up, Reggie. Keep on going up after those old ladies complain to you.
No, I'm just a whole set about complaining about old ladies. I'm going to be the old lady comic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the guy that has a bit about the old ladies. The
that'd
20
be a
bits.
Horrible, horrible thing to be. Definitely. Oh, my gosh.
All right, so you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Let's do it. All right, so Black and Jew Podcast, episode 20.
Episode 20. One of our nerdier episodes. One of our...
We should have a just nerd episode.
Just nerd episode.
But yeah, you guys can find me on Facebook, Mike Marianoff Comedy. Or on Twitter.
The award-winning Twitter.
Award-winning Twitter with 260 followers. at Mike Marianoff.
You should get a stamp for your Twitter. Can you get like a stamp? Link people to that article on your Twitter?
it's like a lesser version of a confirmed check.
Yeah, it's like a New Times. It's like an open bin. Like a GIF. Like a little open bin GIF. All right, so you can catch Mike there. The award-winning Twitter, at Michael Marianoff.
Mike Marianoff.
Mike Marianoff. And you can catch the Black and Jew Podcast on Twitter.
Black and Jew Pod.
At Black and Jew Pod. You can
Josh
email
Silverman,
us.
Tell us what you think about our bandwagoning analysis.
And you can email us. Email us some questions, guys.
BlackandJewPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, tell us what you think. Tell us what you bought on the Steam sale, if you bought anything. And you can catch me on Twitter at Ratchet_Reggie. Or on Instagram at BlackDotist. And, yeah.
Until next time.
Until next time.